Welcome back to another episode of Just Saying. I'm Julio.
And I'm Charlotte.
Took a little break, a little week off last week, you know. Charlotte wanted to be with his family. Can you believe that?
I'm so sorry.
Are you there?
I'm here. I was about to sneeze. That's on me. No, yeah. It's the holidays. Spend a little time with family.
Aww.
Carefully and safe and everything. But back and ready to get it going again.
All right, so let's get right into it. We got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So a few things going on. We're right at the end of the NFL season. Next week is week 17. We've got a good idea of which teams are going to be in, which teams are going to be out, who's kind of on the fringe. We've also seen a couple of rookie quarterbacks really shine this year. So we'll kind of see who's got a chance to be a good player for a long time in this league and who's kind of maybe just riding a whether it's a powerful offense or who knows what. Also want to talk about some of the officiating issues going on in the NFL and maybe some things that they could do to try to fix it. And then the NBA season is in full swing. We'll spend a little bit of time talking about that and just seeing what's going on that side of the sports world.
Yeah. So I guess we'll start off with the playoff picture coming into getting out of week 16 now, going into week 17 this week. We've got a few people who clinched. The Chiefs clinched the AFC, and the Packers clinched the NFC. So I think things went pretty much like we discussed last time. I mean, you really like the Packers. I really like the Chiefs, and they look like they're gonna do some damage in the playoffs. I don't know about the Packers still, though.
I mean, here's my thing. I'm big on Aaron Rodgers. I think him having spent a little bit of time in Matt LaFleur's system has given him a chance to really start to shine again and be the Aaron Rodgers of old, the one that we know and love. I mean, he showed again this past week with the snow game. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL. Mahomes is great. Tom Brady has been great.
Bro,
but in terms
about,
of just
man?
Pure quarterback talent, until Mahomes can do it for a long time, which I
no.
certainly think he will, Aaron Rodgers is unbelievable.
No, he's not. So you're telling me right now, let's say I give you the Dolphins. You would take Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback instead of Patrick Mahomes?
No, because I want the younger quarterback who is going to be good for a long time rather than the guy who's got maybe 4 or 5 years left.
Okay, a young Aaron Rodgers then.
A young Aaron Rodgers versus a young Mahomes?
Yes.
Here's the thing. We know what Aaron Rodgers has done with his career. Mahomes, I have no doubt, will continue to do what he's doing, but we don't know for sure. So I'd take the security of knowing, you know, what I'd be getting long-term with Aaron Rodgers. Sure, you might be risking a little more on the unknown for more reward with Mahomes, meaning I think that Mahomes is going to be better. But as it stands today, right now, careers and, you know, achievements considered, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback in the NFL, and it's and in my mind.
Don't even. Oh my god! All right, we'll leave that for another time. Let's talk about your Steelers, man. What's going on? Usually, around this time of the year, you want to be playing your best football. Steelers arguably have been playing their worst football going into the playoffs. What do you think's going on?
Yeah, so that's a good question. I'm pretty proud of myself. This is a little side note. I'm really proud of myself. I got my girlfriend into football. Like, she was always kind of a fan, but like, I've really gotten her into like paying close attention every week, and like, she's understanding where a penalty might happen, and she's really got it down. So we'll always talk over the Steelers games after they've happened. And after this past game, we were both kind of talking. We were like, you know, Pittsburgh played the first half of that game very poorly. Very, very poorly.
Yeah.
They played the second half. Defense was lights out, did not allow another score. I'm sorry, they allowed a field goal at the beginning of the third quarter, but after that, they shut him out. And then the offense just seems like they gained a little bit of their confidence back and just hit the ground running in the second half, and they were ready to go through a couple of deep balls to open up the offense. So I think that that they've definitely still got some kinks to work out. I wouldn't by no means say they're a Super Bowl favorite right now, despite starting 11-0 just because of this three-game skid. And they had a couple of poor games before that they were lucky to win.
But you had them winning the Super Bowl.
Well, of course. I mean, I'm a Steelers fan. I still think that they've got a really good chance at winning the Super Bowl. I think they just need to prove that they can do it, because it seems to me that there's a lot of mental issues.
They can't run against anyone.
They can't run the ball. But if they can throw those deep passes, they can kind of open up the underneath and use that short passing game that they had used almost entirely in some games. They can use that short passing game to supplement the run somewhat. And you know what? It's not like that's a new thing. They've been doing that for the majority of the season. James Conner had a couple of big games, but they've got some offensive linemen hurt. They can't get good push at the line of scrimmage, so you do what you can to move the ball. And as long as you can move the ball effectively in this league, you're going to score points. It doesn't matter how.
Yeah, but you've got to do that early. I mean, I understand you were down, what was it, 20-7 in the first half?
21-7.
21-7. That's against the Colts. You get down 20, you get down 14 points to the Chiefs, it's over.
I agree. So they've definitely got some kinks to work out, but I think that if that second half is any sign, because once they started clicking in the second half, they didn't stop and they just got better.
But that's against the Colts.
But it doesn't matter. It could be against the Jets, but just the confidence for the players, I think, is what it was. Cause it seemed like the first half, there was no life, no excitement, no energy. And then they had that 130+ yard pass to Chase Claypool and it all changed. And so I think, and that's why I brought up Andrea at the beginning of this, because her and I were both talking, and she brought up the point. She's like, I think that the Steelers' biggest problem right now is not the running game. It's not the offensive play calling, which does need to change. But she's like, I think that it's the fact that they had no confidence. They had a three-game skid. The offense
stopped working.
And the Steelers, I think they've always
been a team
that feeds off of the momentum. I mean, if you've ever been to a Steelers game in Pittsburgh, you know that in the third quarter they play Renegade for the first defensive drive, and it gets the crowd going, it gets the players hyped up, and they're a team that very much feeds off of momentum. So if they were able to get some of that back, I think that there's a somewhat positive outlook going into the playoffs. And Roethlisberger is sitting this week. Staying healthy against the Browns now that they've clinched the AFC North. So it'll be a different type of offense we see this week, and it won't be a good gauge. I think if they can continue what they did in the second half of this game against the Colts, who, by the way, have a good defense, really good defense against the Colts do. If they can continue that, I think they've got a shot in the playoffs. Not a sure thing, but a shot.
It didn't look like it the way they were getting cleaned up in the second half.
I mean,
the defense.
The Pittsburgh offense could be capable.
Waxed. The Seahawks, though, I told you guys about the Seahawks. People are saying that they're not a good team. Are you kidding me? They have Russell Wilson, MVP candidate. Tyler Lockett is nice. DK Metcalf, Chris Carson. The defense is nice.
They can beat
anybody in the NFC right now. They could beat the Packers. They could beat the Saints. They could beat the Bucks.
I think they could, but I think that out of everybody who's clinched a playoff spot in the NFC, the Packers, the Saints, the Seahawks, the Buccaneers, I think while the Seahawks have the talent to beat any of those other teams,
it's not just they have the talent. They also played up. Like the Cowboys have the talent, but they don't play like they have the talent. Seahawks have the talent, and they play like they have the talent.
But the Seahawks have also been known to drop a game they should have won here and there. You know what I mean? Aaron Rodgers isn't going to let that happen. Drew Brees might not let that happen. Tom Brady. Oh,
please.
Now that he's
got – Aaron Rodgers let that happen against the Buccaneers.
All right. You know what? That's fair. I completely forgot about that game. Like, right there.
And who knows how Drew is feeling. He's getting up there in age.
He is getting up there in age, but he had half the season on the IR.
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
Oh, man. That's hilarious.
All right. I do also want to say shout out to the Bills. Division, finally beating up the bully for years.
Shout out.
Shout out to them for getting it done.
Hey, Bills, you guys are – no, I won't say you guys won't win a playoff game. You guys might. All right, Josh Allen is the real deal. But don't get your hopes up. You guys are still our little ugly stepbrother. You're not going to win the Super Bowl this year or next year for that matter. And don't expect the Patriots to continue sucking. That's what you should not do.
All right. I'm glad that you were recorded saying that. So when everything you said doesn't come true, we can replay that for you. But I want to transition a little bit because one, I don't want to give you that moment to just hype up the Patriots and completely tear the Bills down like that, because what happened this week.
I'm not hyping the Patriots up. The Patriots stunk this year, right? Cam Newton needs to go far, far away from Foxborough. I'm just done with it. Just start Stidham. If we suck for the next 2 years, I don't care. It's better than having somebody who can do good and not do good.
Okay. I hear what you're saying. But let's transition. Let's talk about some rookie quarterbacks who have made an impact on their team this year. I think a good one to start with is Tua Tagovailoa down in Miami, where
you read my mind.
Where Flores is out here saying, you know what, we got an ace starter in Tua Tagovailoa. He's young and he might not be able to finish the job. So we'll hand the keys over to Ryan Fitzmagic right around the end of the third quarter. And if he's got to close out our game, so be it. If the season were to end today, the Dolphins are in the playoffs and Tua, a rookie quarterback, is starting an NFL playoff game. If that were to happen, how do you think he would handle the pressure?
Is it
going to be matchup based? What do you think?
First of all, I'm just going to say this. I think Tua Tagovailoa, however you say his last name.
Yeah, you got it right.
I think he's had the biggest impact out of all the rookie QBs.
Really?
Yes, absolutely.
Not Justin Herbert in Los Angeles.
But they're not winning. The Dolphins are winning.
That's fair. I mean,
you know what I mean? Like, Justin Herbert, he's playing. He's going to be a real serious, serious player for years to come. But they're not winning the way the Dolphins were not playing like this without Tua there.
That's fair. I mean, I think there are other parts of the team that have also gotten better in Miami, whereas Los Angeles, I almost said San Diego, whereas Los Angeles, the Chargers are still, I don't want to say rebuilding, but they're still more so putting in a few pieces to the puzzle.
But he has more pieces than Tua.
You think?
Justin Herbert?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's got, you know, Austin.
He's got Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen.
The defense is all right. Dolphins defense is really good.
Dolphins defense is surprisingly good. I did not expect them to play the way they have this year. We can't give Tua all the love, though. What about Joe Burrow, despite the fact that, you know, he got hurt? He's on the injured reserve list. I think that the way he played, he put up some serious points with that offense. And defense couldn't keep him in games. There are still problems in that organization. They don't have an indoor practice facility, for crying out loud. But what do you think there?
I don't know. Like, if I look at the Bengals record when he was there, I don't really see, and especially now that he's hurt, you hate to see it happen, but I mean, they lost to the Chargers, lost to the Browns, tied with the Eagles, lost to the Ravens, lost to the Colts, lost to the Browns. I mean, they were putting up major points. I mean, if you're looking at it, they put up 30 against the Browns, 33 against the Jaguars, 34 against the Browns. They were putting up points, but
they beat the Titans 31-20.
Yeah, that's he had good moments. I'm not gonna deny it. Joe Burrow showed promise, but coming back from that, oh, he had a huge game there against the Titans. Coming back from that kind of injury is tough.
I feel like in the past more so than now. I mean, there were so many big name players who went down with ACL, MCL injuries this year, and they're all expected to be back for the start of next year. You know, like they just had a year off. They got to rehab a little bit, but I don't know. I don't think it's going to be as big of an impact as we think it might be, especially for a young guy, someone who's more so resilient. We saw him take that big hit before he learned how to slide.
I think he'll be all right. That was hilarious. Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I definitely hope he comes back and he's what he was before. I just didn't see like the, whoa, this team is, they definitely got better with him there, but he didn't go in there, get his team to the playoffs the way, for example, a Tua Tagovailoa did.
But Tua hasn't been able to do it by himself. Tua has needed that closer in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I don't think they have the record they have right now with Fitzpatrick playing all those games.
I don't think so either, but just in the way that you can't say that Fitzpatrick could have done it on his own, I say that Tua couldn't have done it on his own because he has had to come out of the game, let the experienced guy who understands how to take the pressure and handle it come in and finish out the game. I mean, if this is the NFL, if you can't finish a game, what are you doing? Not to say he's a bad quarterback. I think he's going to be good, and I think, you know, they're doing it right. They're easing him into it. They got him around Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, despite being, you know, kind of a career journeyman and backup, has always been consistent, respectable. He's, you know, he's not by any means a bad quarterback, and he's shown flashes of, I don't want to say greatness, but he's been consistently good and decent. But I just don't think
that. What else more can you ask from a rookie quarterback, you know?
To win a game starting all four quarters.
There's not a lot of rookie QBs who can come in and do that.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. You can't give him much more. Justin Herbert has won games and put up numbers playing four quarters. I mean,
and lost.
Same kind of defense. They didn't have 11 draft picks like the Dolphins did to rebuild their offense and defense.
Was this the last time they played? November 15th? No, they played again, right? No?
November 15th.
November 15th. Let's take a look. All right, Justin Herbert, 187 yards, two touchdowns and an interception. Tua with two touchdowns and 169 yards. So not – I mean, it's pretty equal there.
Right. I just don't
– I'm just talking about impact.
Okay. Impact, I hear what you're saying.
Can you make an argument that Justin Herbert's a better quarterback at this point than Tua? Sure. But the impact they've had on the team, I just feel like the Dolphins have become a better team more so than the Chargers have become a better team with either Tua being in Miami or Herbert being in LA.
Okay, I can respect that. I can get with that. I do want to add, though, I mean, like I said a minute ago, the Dolphins had like 11 draft picks this past year. So, well, that's not completely why they've turned the organization around in the way that they have. A lot of new faces can mean, you know, a different environment in the locker room, and that can translate to a different team out on the field.
Sure.
You're right, have the guys in Keenan Allen and both. You're very right. They've got the guys. But it's been the same, and maybe they need to do something similar to what the Dolphins have done. And Tua, you're right, has definitely been a big part of that shift in mentality or whatever it is that's gotten the Dolphins to where they are. You're definitely right in that.
What do you think about Jalen Hurts? I mean, he came in there and he just straight up took Carson Wentz's job.
And he was unapologetic about it. He really came in and said, this is my team. He's had some players on the team come out and say, this guy is a leader. I don't know, though. I feel like Philadelphia has just like a way of of killing any hope that their team should have. Brown did to several quarterbacks' careers for a number of years. I think that, I don't know, like, it just seems like there's something holding him down. What do you think about Jalen Hurts?
Was it the game against the Packers where he came in for him?
I think it may have been against the Packers.
No, I don't think – because they ended up winning that game, no?
I'll tell you right now.
What was that game? Oh, man, I can't remember it.
So his first start was against the Saints. So who did he play right before that? I will tell you right now. Where are – okay, right here. So against the Saints was his first start.
It was against the Saints.
That was his first start, and they won 24-21.
No, it wasn't his first start. It was a game where he came in.
That was the Packers.
It was the Packers?
30-16, they lost that game.
But still, like, when he got in there, man, it felt like a breath of fresh air. Like, the offense just looked better. The team just, like, got energized.
Now, do you think that that has anything to do with the fact that, you know, Carson Wentz was a part of bringing that team to a Super Bowl, so they were expected to perform with Carson Wentz. Whereas, I mean, you bring in the rookie. I mean, I don't want to say it's an excuse, but he's a rookie. You know, does that take some weight off the rest of the team's shoulders, saying, you know what, if we lose, we can say we don't have our normal guy. We're trying something different. He's new to the NFL. What do you think?
Listen, man, we're talking about the Eagles. Chances are they're going to lose. But I feel like just getting somebody else, because I've heard so many times, so many greats say, you got to believe in who's the leader. Like, you got to believe that they can go out there and ball. I don't think they have that confidence in Wentz anymore.
Okay, I can agree with that. I think you're right.
In the way Jalen Hurts just went in there, I mean, he can run. He gave flashes of, like, Lamar Jackson. Let me stop.
The ball down the field, and that's what you need to do as a quarterback in this league. But we should pivot over to the third topic, which is the referee issues, just because we are running out of time. This segment or the last one short. But referees, man. Go ahead.
I saw it mostly when were we talking about it? When did I text you about it? Was it Monday night, Bills against the Patriots?
Yeah, it was the non-existent holding call.
No, it was the offside. It was the offside.
Oh, that's offsides. I'm sorry.
What was it? I think it was the Colts. The Colts game, wasn't it?
No, because that was Colts Steelers.
It was the Packers game.
I don't know. No, it was the Packers game. It was the snow game.
It was the Packers, yeah. Like, and you mentioned that they were compensating for a call they had missed.
Yeah, I didn't see any call that they obviously missed, but I know, like, sometimes if they call, like, an iffy pass interference, it's because they missed a blatant one the quarter before.
Right.
Like that.
Right. But I definitely believe, look, if you don't want to fine them because a human error, I can get that. But at least, like, you get like three strikes. If you're caught just, like, consistently blowing calls, like, that's clearly not there, you should have to, like, miss certain games or not get. You know, how do you say it? You shouldn't get scheduled for, like, the next three games or something like that. Like, you shouldn't.
Suspension.
Yes, exactly. A suspension of some sort, something like that. Because they have no, like we were saying, they have no account. They have no motive to not blow calls. They're like, whatever.
No. Zero accountability.
Yeah.
And so there's a couple of instances. You can go back to 2 years ago, the Rams whole pass interference call. I'm sure you remember that. I mean, that brought in the reviewable pass interference. So that one was a huge blown call that, you know, had impacts into who may have gone to the Super Bowl. A few weeks ago, the Steelers were playing against the Redskins, and they were driving. It was before the Redskins had, sorry, the Washington football team. It was before the Washington football had taken the lead, and the Steelers were trying to burn the clock. There was a play where they threw, you know, it was a screen, a wide receiver screen or something like that. Wide receiver got a first down, maybe a 6-yard gain, and he obviously ran out of bounds. The clock never stopped. I noticed it. People on Twitter noticed it. The refs didn't notice it, and no one on the field seemed to notice it. So, I mean, how do you miss something like that? How do you not – the fourth quarter of a game where a win is on the line, how do you watch a player run out of bounds and not stop the clock? And then just this past weekend, Aaron Jones had like a 35, 36-yard run where he stepped out of bounds right in front of the referee.
Yep.
4 to 5 yards into the run. I mean, yep. There's just no accountability. I think that whether it's they should be available for press conferences if requested.
But what does that do? Like, oh, yeah, we really blew that call. Yeah.
It kind of puts a face and a name to these guys who, you know, have the power to change the outcome of an entire game. There are too many times where a blown call ruins a team's comeback. It ruins, you know, any chance for a lead to be held. I mean, there's human error involved. I understand that. It's never going to be perfect. But make better use of the technology that you have available to you.
But if you're consistently doing that, that's beyond human error at this point.
Well, and I don't know. I just feel like if you were held to a standard, the same standard as a player, where, you know, you don't have to give an interview after every single game, but if the media requests an interview from you, you have to do it. I think it should be the same for the referees, because reviewable pass interference. They did it for 1 year. There were so many flags thrown to review it. Several times it could have and should have been overturned. And it wasn't overturned because the guys who were reviewing it were giving the referees on the field the benefit of the doubt, saying, well, maybe they saw something different. Maybe this, maybe that. It's like, you've got... I mean, I think having to answer for those decisions in a public forum can help prevent some of them from happening in the first place.
What if they did a mix of both?
In what way? What do you mean by that?
Like, you have to do the press conferences, and on top of that, if you blow several calls within a certain amount of time, clearly that everybody can go back, see the tape, saw that you were in a position to make the right call and did it, you should be suspended for a certain number of games.
I think that's fair. And I know when we were first talking about it, you mentioned doing something kind of like a fine system, which I wasn't really a big fan of, just because it is, you know, human error. And
yeah, even if it's not fines, but then, well, you don't get to work because you're not doing your job.
Just some type of punishment. I agree.
You know, you've got to have some sort of, even in the NBA, it's not just the NFL. Like the Celtics-Bucks game, in the last minute of the, I mean, this was like the last seconds of the game, Tristan Thompson and Giannis go up for a rebound, and there is no foul there. I mean, if you call that, you've got to call every single time that somebody's in a post-up, or every time somebody goes up for a rebound, you've got to call a foul then. And then, like, it's just, it seems like they just call it. And it's like you said, a lot of times it's making up for calls that they miss, and I don't think that's right.
Absolutely not. And you said it right there, and what you just said, being consistent. If you're going to call it now, call it every time. If you're not going to call it now, don't call it.
Exactly.
I was excited for the last topic, now that the NBA season is in full swing, just giving a little bit of attention to that. We've definitely got some NBA news to talk about now that the season is kind of more so in full swing. We've seen some teams are getting off to a hotter start than others. There were some contenders last year who aren't doing so well. For example, the Clippers, they were in the semifinals last year.
And tragically.
And this past week, they were down 50 points to the Mavericks, of all teams. Down 50 points at halftime.
I mean, don't sleep on the Mavericks, man. They're going to be a force in the West this year. But it wasn't just the Clippers. The Nets lost to the Hornets. The 76ers lost to the Cavs. The Bucks lost to the Knicks. And the Celtics lost to the Pacers. So it was pretty much like every, except the Lakers, because of course, you know, building super teams with LeBron, you know, you're not going to lose a lot of games. But yeah, most of the contenders lost some games. So I think a lot of it is just, you know, the season just picked up. The bubble literally ended like 2 months ago. So I think it's going to take a longer time for guys to get back in the swing of things.
That's fair. This is the shortest offseason in sports history.
Wow.
The NHL, hockey, they've come close a couple of times, but not quite as short as we're seeing with the NBA right now. You said the Nets, they were a team that lost this week. If I'm not mistaken, Steve Nash is their head coach now, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. How about that?
I mean, we'll have to see how they grow. They got a really nice, I'd argue they're the deepest team in the NBA besides, you know, the Lakers, obviously, because LeBron built it super team. But yeah, the Nets will be interesting to see how they do. I'm definitely watching that. LaMelo Ball scored double digits in one half in a game against the who was it against? I forget the team now. Was it against the Nets? No, it wasn't against the Nets.
Honestly, I wish I could tell you. I honestly don't know. But double digit points for
first half.
Just the first half?
Just in the first half.
That's crazy.
I mean, he went off.
Good for him. I think he's got a chance to be a good player.
I mean, he looks the best out of all.
Now, is he the one who spent – I don't follow the Ball family that closely. Is he the one who spent time playing professionally overseas?
Yep.
Okay. So I bet you that time overseas then really allowed him to kind of develop a professional routine, play against better competition but not quite near the NBA's talent, and just probably gave him an opportunity to become a professional, and that, I think, may have helped his transition in the NBA. Have any of his other brothers done that, gone overseas, or is it just him?
LiAngelo went overseas with him, but I don't know if that's ever going to work out. I mean, I heard he just he wasn't eligible for the G League now. I mean, it's looking rough, but I really like the Celtics' chances this year. And I say this every year, and most all Celtics fans say this every year, but I like this team. They're struggling, but they haven't played 10 games yet, and there's some new guys, and we're missing Kemba Walker. So I feel like we've got a good chance to come out of the East this year.
Right. So what I just heard you say is we're not good, but we can be.
Which has been the story for the past. I mean, we've gone to 3 Eastern Conference Finals in the past years. We just haven't got over that hump. You know what I mean?
Right. And now, do you think that a change needs to be made to make that last push to get to the finals, whether it's coaching, an impact player, something like that? Because, I mean, Kemba Walker is your biggest name player in Boston.
I'd say Jason Tatum is now.
Okay, that's fair, but still, that's not, I mean, you don't have a Steph Curry, you don't have a LeBron James,
exactly,
Grant, a Kyrie Irving, you don't have a Giannis.
So I think either Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown need to take the step to that point, or yeah, we got to make some changes. We got to look around and see what we can do, because I understand going to the Eastern Conference Finals is good, but that's not what we're playing for. We want Banner 18.
I don't need it.
You want Banner 18, but will they get it? I think they'll need to prove that they can win games in the playoffs, and do it consistently.
Yeah, they got those two, the two J's, they got to step it up. They got to become superstars for us to win it. Or we got to start looking at trades.
Definitely. And now next week, we can kind of revisit this conversation, see how the Celtics have improved, see where they could, you know, maybe work on a couple more things. Well, it'll give us an opportunity. The Celtics, I think, are a team that will definitely want to follow week to week as we go through the season. And next week, we've also got reason to be excited for the NFL. I mean, week 17, we'll see who's in, who's out. We can start talking about what we think based off what the matchups are going to be, who's going to go a little further, who might be in that shouldn't be, you know, that kind of pretender versus contender.
Cleveland Browns.
I'm very curious.
I got something in my throat, sorry.
I'm very curious to see how the Cleveland Browns do in their first playoff visit. If I had to guess, I would say 20 years.
It's been a long time. We just leave it at that.
That's for sure. All right. I think that's a good point to end it. We'll get back at it again next week. But this was just saying.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning back in. And, you know, go ahead and subscribe. Check out us. Check it us. Bro, check us out about, on Twitter at The Just Saying Podcast. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you want to talk about. And subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us on. And we really appreciate it. And also, it doesn't hurt you to do that. It could benefit you.
It probably will.